prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
The truth will set you free. We are Truth Revolution. I am Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And this is where faith and reason meet.
That's right.
Jumping in on you there.
That's all right. We got to let people know where we're from.
We are from Revolution Church.
There you go.
Here in Salina, Kansas. If you're in Salina, Kansas, you are more than welcome to join us. I don't care if you are beautiful or ugly. If you got expensive clothes or you got cheap clothes like me.
Believe me, if I can go to this church, anybody can go to this church.
We were passing out some invites to people last week. And one of the guys handing them out, his name's Cody. He was handing some cards out to people and someone said, "Oh, you guys wouldn't want me at your church." And he's like, "Why not?" The guy said, "Cause man, I got these tattoos all over." Mm-hmm. And Cody rips his shirt off and he's like, "Dude, look at me."
Right on.
That's like, awesome. I got them all over.
That's awesome.
So you know what? Revolution Church, 10:15 Sunday morning.
For now,
mm-hmm. Because we have an announcement to make.
Yes.
We are going to two services.
That's awesome.
So in just a few weeks, we're going to be meeting at 9 a.m. and 11:15 in the morning. What? You don't believe you can get up that early?
9 a.m? Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't know they made 9 a.m. on weekends, but they do.
This is going to be October 13th, okay? Yeah. So on October 13th, we're going to two services, 9 and 11:15.
Right.
We've been growing, dude.
Mm-hmm. And you're welcome to come out and join us it's a blast.
It's a really good thing. I mean, we got people parking in the back and there's not very many spots out front and we're filling up. It's a really good thing. So we're going to go ahead and go to two services to make sure we can hold everybody. We had like 65 kids in a classroom last week. Oof. It was amazing. Yeah. I mean, it's really loud. It's really cool. So, so we're growing. You're welcome to come out. This morning, though, it's 10:15. And if you can't come in person, you can watch live online. Just get over to our website, truthrevolution.tv, and you can find a link there to watch live. Also, you got to go to truthrevolution.tv because there's stuff there you have to know about.
That's right. We've got truth shots 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's 60 seconds of truth.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yep. And you can check out all of our past shows. And
I was thinking about that. We do the sermon on Sunday morning, but in addition to the sermon, we do the radio show here.
Mm-hmm.
Then in addition to the radio show and the sermon, we also do the truth shots Monday, Wednesday, right, and Friday. And we're putting a lot of content out there for people. Right. If you want to know about God better, right, there's plenty of ways to get on.
Five opportunities to learn in 1 week.
Yes.
So.
And plus, I'm doing a foundations class on Sunday mornings talking about the basics of Christianity.
That's six.
Yeah. And then we do growth groups on top of that, which are classes.
Seven.
Plus, we have a Photoshop class going on right now if you want to Photoshop.
Really learning spiritual stuff there. But hey.
But it's going to be part of the church.
Yes.
So anyway. Man, we're off topic. Today, we're talking about proving God doesn't exist.
What?
Proving God doesn't exist.
All right, well.
We're going to talk about that.
You've been reading too many of those atheist websites.
We're going to answer some of those objections. We also got a listener question and a Bible contradiction that we'll answer just like normal.
All right. Well, you know, from alternet.org.
Yeah.
The author Greta Christina wrote, "The Top 10 Reasons I Don't Believe in God."
And this is actually an excerpt from her book, "Why Are You Atheists So Angry? 99 Things That Piss Off the Godless."
Now,
I say that on air?
Right. Now Jeff is going to try and answer these objections without any kind of studying ahead of time, okay?
Ooh.
And of course, we know I don't study.
Ah!
Because, you know, I'm just here to hang out.
You're just here for the party, man.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, I'm here to learn just like everybody else.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just one of those things. Every once in a while we do it, we kind of turn everything over on its top and we say, let's prove God doesn't exist. And then we wind up.
And in fact, this article, I haven't even read it ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen parts of it as we were like copying and pasting it in our thing for today.
Right.
But this isn't a gimmick that, okay, look how smart Jeff is. No, I mean, that's definitely not what we're talking about.
No, we want to show everybody what a legitimate question and answer might look like.
Right.
You know,
I mean, sometimes we give really deep researched answers on the show.
Yeah.
And we just want to say, you know what? Even if you don't have time to research something for 3 hours, if you listen to what people are saying, you often have a really good response. So we're going to listen to what this lady's saying. I haven't heard it ahead of time. I don't know exactly what she's going to say, but we're going to see if we can come up with a response to her 10 reasons from the book, the 10 reasons why God doesn't exist.
I feel like I'm in the little red wagon at the top of the hill. We're getting ready to crest the edge.
Okay, here we go, man. We're on the wagon.
All right.
Number one.
The consistent replacement of supernatural explanations of the world with natural ones.
Okay, so this is a reason why God doesn't exist.
Right. Everybody's consistently replacing supernatural explanations of the world with natural ones.
Okay, now, I forgot something here.
What did you
forget? Before we really get into this, one of my favorite internet memes. You know internet memes?
Uh-huh.
Okay, one of my favorite ones is kind of a quote from The Princess Bride. I want you to listen to this, okay?
Inconceivable! You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
I don't think it means what you think it means.
Right. Often we have these arguments that are supposed to prove God doesn't exist.
Right.
Most of the time, I do not think it means what they think it means.
Right.
I do not think it proves what they think it proves.
Well, we've proven that time and again, honestly.
Right. Most of the time, these arguments don't really prove there's no God. They're good questions. But this is going to be our main question today. Now, granted, I haven't read this thing completely. I don't know exactly what she's going to say. But I bet you, because this is almost always the case, your main question should be, if their point is true, does that actually mean there's no God? Does that actually mean Jesus isn't the Messiah?
Right. And a lot of times people talk about things that are just like way out in left field that has no bearing. And sometimes people say, well, I'm going to prove God doesn't exist. And then they use their words and totally prove that God's exist. God
right. Exists. So let's go back to these questions. Right. Here's her reasons why God doesn't exist.
The first reason is the consistent replacement of supernatural explanations of the world with natural ones. So basically science is proving everything, or people are taking actual ways that it can be proven without supernatural mumbo jumbo.
Okay, we used to believe in supernatural causes for things, but now we know there's natural causes.
Right.
We used to believe that the sun magically rose and set. Well, now we know the earth turns.
Right.
That sort of thing is what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, you look at the article here. She says, when you look at the history of what we know about the world, you see a noticeable pattern. Natural explanations of things have been replacing supernatural explanations, like a steamroller. Why the sun rises and sets, where thunder and lightning come from, why people get sick, why people look like their parents. All these things were once explained by religion, but as we understood the world better and learned to observe it more carefully, the explanations based on religion were replaced by the ones on physical cause and effect. I mean, now that's interesting.
It is. And it's true because quite often, you know, it's like, okay, the whole thing when the earth is flat and then we decided, oh, wait a minute, it's not. Well, the earth is the center of the universe. Oh, wait a minute. Well, it's not.
Okay.
You know, and so science continues to come out and prove things.
Here's the thing. I do not think this proves what she thinks it proves.
Right.
Okay. Just because there have been many natural explanations of things that we thought a long time ago had supernatural causes does not mean there is no God.
Right.
I mean, just because, let's say that I thought Dave was the one moving the chair around in my office, and I found that someone else was moving the chair in my office. That doesn't mean Dave doesn't exist.
I hope not.
That just means Dave wasn't the one moving the chair.
Right.
And I made some assumptions that I should not have made. A lot of times, and really, we should thank the scientists, or maybe even atheists like her, for pointing things out.
Mm-hmm.
We make assumptions when we read the Bible. Oh, look, the Bible says this. This must mean the universe works this way or that way. But the Bible is not intended to teach us science. It is not a science book. It is not a history book. It's intended to reveal God's revelation to us about him.
Amen.
So, you know, it is good. Thank you to the critics for pointing out that we shouldn't just treat the Bible as a science book.
Right.
But this does not mean there is no God.
Right. And let's be honest. God gave us a brain to be able to try and research things so that we can learn things, so we can study and figure things out. And one of the reasons why science actually got started was because people wanted to discover God's creation.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Now, she goes on and she says, now, the number of times that a natural explanation of a phenomena has been replaced by a supernatural one. The number of times humankind has said, we used to think X was caused by physical cause and effect, but now we understand that it's caused by God or spirits or demons or the soul. Exactly zero.
Right.
Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
That depends.
That
depends on the way you're looking at things, though.
Why?
Because those of us who have the spirit can actually see things for what they actually are. And, you know, God holds the universe together. And if we just thought, well, it was just there, that's, okay, that's not true.
Yeah, you're getting into a cosmological argument mm-hmm. here, and that's good. But let's just assume she's right. Let's just say there was no scientific evidence that had been ever been overturned, and we found a supernatural cause. That does not mean there is no God. It doesn't mean that.
Yeah, it just means that we haven't figured out things that...
Well, I mean, I think she's making a category mistake.
Okay.
People make this category mistake to say, show me the scientific evidence for God. Okay, well, I want you to show me the taste of blue. I mean, scientific evidence for God is a misnomer. Okay, we can talk about the evidence for God's existence, but scientific evidence for God's existence, what do you mean? Scientific evidence is something that's testable and repeatable. You create a hypothesis, you test it. You can't put God in a beaker. You have to look for the evidence of his effects. And so we have these philosophical arguments and things like that. Right. But so we shouldn't expect that once we find a scientific explanation for something that we would replace that with a supernatural expectation.
Well, and quite honestly...
Expectation?
Quite honestly, I believe the proof is all around us. You know, I mean, because it says in the Bible that, you know, you could look out at nature and just see, you know, God's creation and have no excuse to know that God actually does exist. So, but I see your point. There isn't any way, I mean, really, where we've actually taken something where science talked about things and said, this is the way things are, and then flipped it over to the spiritual
side. Right, we didn't say, hey, we figured out how electricity works. Oh, wait, nope, that was demons. Sorry. That's not happened.
Right.
And it's probably, I mean, it's not gonna happen, because mm-hmm. if we find a scientific explanation, there's no reason to think there would be a spiritual explanation. Right. So but that does not prove there is no God. See, it does not mean what she thinks it means.
Right.
All right, number two, the second reason why she thinks there's no God.
Well, she's talking about the inconsistency of world religions.
Okay.
World religions are all, you know, across the spectrum, all on this end and then all on this end and everywhere in the middle.
Yeah, what'd she say there?
Basically, you know, if God or any other metaphysical being or beings were real and people were really perceiving him, her, it, them, or whatever, why do these perceptions differ so wildly? Wouldn't God just show himself or
that's
herself
a good,
or itself?
Again, when we're answering people without studying a ton, what we want to do is listen carefully to what they say and then ask the question, does this mean what they think it means? Does this prove what she thinks it proves? There are many different world religions that say many different things about God. Does that mean there is no God?
Right.
No, that does not mean there's no God.
I agree with you. It's just like me saying, okay, I use football as a metaphor all the time. It's like, you know, I can say one thing about the Broncos, being a big Broncos fan. You can say another thing about the Broncos not being a Broncos fan.
Right.
But does that mean what you say is true? Not necessarily.
Well, and even further to the point, you said the Denver Broncos are awesome. I said they stink. Does that mean they don't exist because we disagree?
There you go.
No. Just because there's a huge disagreement upon who or what God is doesn't mean there is no God.
Right.
At the very best, she's brought up a good question. Which of these religions is right?
Right. And that's actually a very good question, because when you're a seeker and you want to find truth, you need to seek until you can find the truth.
That's right.
If you give up, you're never going to find it.
That's right. So, yeah, you know, and again, when we're studying, when we're listening to people, does what they say mean what they're trying to prove?
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to prove there's no God. When she makes these points, is she actually proving there's no God? No, she's just bringing up interesting questions.
Not yet.
So, and likewise, we as Christians need to be very careful too, that when we say something, does it mean what we think it means?
Right. Yeah, and that's another thing. It's like, you know, you need to be very sure about what you're saying when it comes to God.
Yeah. All right. TruthRevolution.tv is our website.
Yeah. You want to go there, check out past shows.
Ask questions.
Mm, oh, yeah, definitely.
Hit up Truth Shots. You can also donate.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, matter of fact, we're going to take a question later on. So,
yeah, listener questions. We love them. We love interacting with people. Mm-hmm. We could use some of your financial support if you'd like to see this show keep going. And so if you just consider that. You know, I always think it's funny. People are like, Christians are greedy. Really? That's why they give everything away for free and say, give what you want.
Right.
Anyway. All right, we're going to catch you on the other side of the break. Do the Bible contradiction, listener question, and more evidence that God doesn't exist.
Right.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning, just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, salinarevolution.com. www.salinarevolution.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Turn your brains on because we're going over the ontological argument for the existence of God.
When we say God, we're talking about the greatest being that exists.
Right. If there was someone greater, then that would be God.
Nothing greater than God could even be conceived of.
So God is the greatest being you could imagine. He's the greatest.
But what is even greater than thinking about God's existence?
A God who would exist in reality? That's better. A God who is necessary for our existence.
Right. If God was only an, quote, idea in our heads, then we could find something better, and he wouldn't actually be God.
But to be God, existence must be one of his attributes, so he must exist.
In other words, if the necessary being, that's God, did not have existence, it wouldn't be a necessary being. So the necessary being must have existence.
And if you're still following us, congratulations, you've leveled up.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we are back.
We are proving God does not exist.
Right.
And then answering those proofs with evidence that he does exist.
Right. Or at least saying how this evidence really isn't evidence at all.
Right, because we didn't study this document ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't prepare on purpose. We just wanted to know, can you actually answer an atheist's arguments without having to do tons of research? And what we're doing is we're listening and then we're asking the question, does this mean what they think it means?
Right. And to be totally honest with you, I mean, we do this every week on, actually.
Yes.
If you want to look at the Bible contradictions, I send the Bible contradictions to Jeff about 15 minutes before we actually start.
Right. So they're not very hard to answer.
Right. He doesn't do a ton of research on it. And we do wind up proving that the contradiction is not one at all. So,
of course, this brings us to a good point.
Mm-hmm.
We have done a ton of research over the years.
Yes.
And we have studied very hard. And so it's important for Christians to know that we should study hard.
Yes.
So that we are able to give wise and reasonable answers when someone brings up an objection.
Yes. It's a culmination of a body of research rather than researching one topic.
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
You give yourself the heart.
I do not think it means what you think it means. All right. Number three, the reason God doesn't exist.
Yeah, the weakness of religious arguments, explanations, and apologetics.
The weakness of it.
Oh.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right. You want me to go ahead?
That was our radio show blowing up.
She's killing us. Check it out. All right. She says, I have seen a lot of arguments for the existence of God, mm-hmm. and they all boil down to one or more of the following.
Ooh, this is going to be good. Mm-hmm. They boil down to one of the four: cosmological, ontological, teleological, or axiological, right?
Okay.
Those are the four main.
And she says they're all ridiculously weak.
Oh.
what she's saying.
Well, what are the four that she says?
Well, she's saying, okay, the argument from authority. What? Example, God exists because the Bible says God exists.
What?
Mm-hmm.
No.
The argument from personal experience, God exists because I feel in my heart that God exists.
Oh, boy.
The argument that religions shouldn't have to be logically defending its claims. Example, God is an entity that cannot be proven by reason or evidence. Or,
oh,
the redefining of God into an abstract principle, so abstract that it can't be argued against, but also so abstract that it scarcely deserves the name God. Example,
no.
God is love.
Stop it.
Well, this is what she says, and she says all these arguments are ridiculously weak.
Well, those arguments are ridiculously weak.
They are.
Now, okay, let's apply the question. Does this prove what she thinks it proves? Well, if this was the only evidence for God's existence, this would prove there was no God. If the only reason to believe in God is because God exists because the Bible says God exists, or God exists because I feel him in my heart, those are not good reasons.
No.
And we even say it in our beginning of our show, right, that you do not believe something just because your grandpa told you to.
Sometimes some things that you have been taught are not true.
Right. But as I was pointing out, there are really good arguments for the existence of God, which we've gone over. The teleological, the axiological, the cosmological, horizontal and vertical, Kalam cosmological argument, the ontological argument, the evidence for design. There is all sorts of things. The prophecies that were fulfilled in the Bible that were told far ahead of time.
Yes.
Jesus' resurrection. We can go on and on. We do this every week on the show, of course. Mm-hmm. And so she doesn't actually know what the evidence is for God's existence. That's the
problem.
Right.
She hasn't done a lot of research into the proofs for God.
Apparently. So, I mean, if we said, I just believe because I know in my heart it's true, that's really not a very good reason because people in other religions say the exact same thing.
Right.
We want to know what the evidence is.
Right. And everything seems so spread out and willy-nilly.
Right. Yeah. And that's why we're glad Jesus fulfilled prophecy and that we know he rose from the dead. All right. You know what? We need to answer Bible contradiction before we run out of time today.
Let's do it.
Bible contradiction.
Ta-da!
All right. I'm changing up a little bit.
I went
to infidels.org today.
Ooh, we haven't been there for a while. Mm-hmm.
They say that there is a...
Theirs are usually easy to answer, though.
All right.
I'm twiddling my thumbs.
Yeah. I'm going to give you the opportunity. Human versus ghostly impregnation. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, we're talking about the virgin birth of Jesus.
Okay.
Okay? We're going to use the King James Version because this is the version that they used in this contradiction.
I'm only going to use 10% of my brain for this.
Stop it. Acts 2:30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with all an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne.
I just want to say it right off the bat. Whenever the Bible uses the word loins, it makes me laugh.
Anyway, Matthew 1:18. Matthew 1:18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
All right, our acronym to solve Bible contradictions is CRACT, and the very first C in there is...
Context, context, context.
That's right. In real estate, you want to know the location. In Bible contradictions, you want to know the location, the context.
Right.
Read Acts chapter 2. It is not saying that Jesus was not conceived by the Holy Spirit. It was merely saying that at least part of his lineage came from the descendant of David. Now you might go, wait a minute, if he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, how could he have lineage from David, his descendant or his ancestor? Well, Mary, who he was inside of, was his biological mother. So for Jesus to come from Mary and the loins of David, because Mary came from David, is correct. Even though the Holy Spirit caused her to be pregnant. So he came from the Holy Spirit and he was placed into Mary. Mary was his biological mother and Mary was in the line of David. So there's no problem here whatsoever.
So what they're saying here is that the lineage can only be traced through the male.
That's
what they're saying.
Well, either that or the lineage can only be from the Holy Ghost and you can't count any human counterpart. But that, the Bible never says that. And that's the answer for Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
All right. That one was pretty easy.
Yeah, I told you, man. Infidels.org, I'm not a fan.
Not a
fan. I like the other one we do. Yeah. EvilBible.com.
EvilBible.com and then the Freedom From Religion Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Yeah. I like those a little better.
You think they put a little more thought into it there? All right.
A little bit. Isn't it funny that on our Christian radio show, we're rating which atheist websites we like better?
I'm not commenting on that one bit.
That one doesn't make me think enough.
Right.
All right. So number four reason why God doesn't exist.
The increasing diminishment of God.
What?
And, you know, I will kind of agree with her on this.
I don't even know what it means.
Well, okay, without even reading it, which seems to be a habit today, I'm going to assume she means that God seems to be making less and less of a difference in our lives as far as, our day-to-day lives.
Okay.
And I agree that perceptually, God seems to be less and less in our secular lives. You know, people go to church on Sundays and then not much else.
And then on the article, she says, when you look at the history of religion, you see that the perceived power of God has been diminishing. As our understanding of the physical world has increased and our ability to test theories and claims has improved, the domain of God's miracles and interventions, blah, 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 has shrunk.
Right.
Example, we stop needing God to explain floods, but we still need him to explain sickness and health. We don't need him to explain sickness and health anymore, but we still need him to explain consciousness. Now we're beginning to get a grip on consciousness. Well, okay, I guess my response to be, if it's true, let's listen to it. If it's true that we're finding more things that we don't need to say, that must be God. If we're finding more explanations on our own, does that mean there is no God?
No.
No, I do not think this proves what she thinks it proves. Now, granted, in the Bible, there's things like floods, and it says God caused the flood. And nowadays there's a flood like the one in Colorado. And not everybody's going, that was caused by God.
Right.
But here's the deal. Not all floods in the Bible were caused by God even. Not all events in the Bible are assumed to be caused by God.
Right.
Jesus talks about a tower that fell. And he's like, do you think those people were like super evil? You think God did that to them? No. I mean, the Bible has specific miracles. We had a guy on Jacob Ali who wrote an article talking about, look, there's very few miracles in the Bible. God interacted at certain times and places, like with Moses,
right,
and with Jesus, and with Elijah, and with the prophets.
Right. Kind of like lightning rods in the Bible.
Right. But like, other than that, for the thousands of years that the Bible covers, there really weren't that many miracles or interactions. So this isn't a problem at all. There's not a diminishment of God. It's just the same as it's always been.
Right. It seems to me like she's kind of skirting the fringes of the subject, not really wanting to go into the deep end of the pool. So
yeah, that's interesting. All right. We only got a little time left. Let's do a listener question.
All right.
I got a question.
All right, so if you have a question and you want to send your questions to truthrevolution.tv, go on over there, or you can hit questions at truthrevolution.tv. So,
all right, great.
Listener asks, Jesus can only create that which is good as he did in Genesis.
Okay.
Could it be that Lucifer has power to create? Lucifer not only interfered with Jesus' good creation, but he also created a snake by Egyptian priests.
All right. Well, certainly the traditional Christian view is that the devil does not have the ability to create anything in the way that God does. Only God can create ex nihilo, which is out of nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not explicitly in the Bible. Nowhere does it say Satan cannot create, period. So we want to be a little careful about that. However, the only real examples we have of Satan working would be called manipulation rather than creation. Creating the snake from the staff was a manipulation. There was a staff and it was turned into a snake. Creating doubt in Adam and Eve, that was a manipulation of the truth. Creating boils on Job, it's not like he created matter. He just manipulated the situation. Right. Plus, we look at Job and we'll see that Satan actually had to get God's permission to do those things.
Right.
Then you look at Isaiah 45. It says, I am the Lord, there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I am the Lord, there is no other. I form the light and create the darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, Lord, do all these things.
Right. Satan is just an imposter.
It sounds like the emphasis there is God. I alone create things.
Yes.
So I would think God alone creates. Satan manipulates. And even when he does that, he usually has to have permission from God. At least that seems to be the biblical example. And when he appears to create, it's really just manipulation. Okay. Hey, thanks for listening today. Hopefully when you go out and you hear some objections, now you can ask the question, does this prove what they think it proves?
Right, and don't be afraid, man. Sometimes people are just way off base.
Yeah. All right, truthrevolution.tv, and coming out to Revolution Church, we'd love to have you.
See you next week.